Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.6 and 7 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there?
Hare Krishna. Yes, I am present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. यच्छान्यतपि कृष्णस्य भवान् भगवतः प्रभो शवशुश्रवसा पुण्यं पूर्वदेहागताश्रयं भक्ताय मेऽनुरक्ताय तव चाधोक्षजाय च वक्तुमर्हसि यो दुह्यद् वैन्यारूपेण गामि माम्. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Prithu Maharaj was a powerful incarnation of Lord Krishna's tendency. Consequently, any narration concerning his activities is surely very pleasing to hear, and it produces all good fortune. As far as I am concerned, I am always your devotee, as well as a devotee of the Lord, who is known as Adokshaja. Please therefore narrate all the stories of King Prithu, who, in the form of the son of King Vena, milked the cow-shaped earth. Purport. Lord Krishna is also known as Avatari, which means one from whom all incarnations emanate. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Lord Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Thus Lord Krishna is the origin of everyone's appearance. As far as this material world is concerned, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva are all emanations from Krishna. These three incarnations of Krishna are called Guna Avataras. The material world is governed by three material modes of nature, and Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva respectively take charge of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Maharaja Prithu is also an incarnation of those qualities of Lord Krishna by which one rule over conditioned souls. In this word, Adokshaja, meaning beyond the perception of material senses, is very, very significant. No one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead by mental speculation. Therefore, a person with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since one can form only an impersonal idea of on the strength of one's material senses, the Lord is known as Adokshaja. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama Hare Hare. Yachanyadapi Krishnasya Bhavan Bhagavata Prabho Shravashya Punyam Purva Deha Katashrayam Yaktaya Menu Nuruktaya Tavacha Doksha Jayaja Vaktum Arhasiyo Dukhyad Vanya Rupena Gamimam. Prithu Maharaj was a powerful incarnation of Lord Krishna's potencies. Consequently, any narration concerning his activities is surely very pleasing to hear and it produces all good fortune. As far as I am concerned, I am always your devotee as well as a devotee of the Lord who is known as Adokshaja. Please therefore narrate all the stories of King Prithu who, in the form of the son of King Vena, milked the cow-shaped earth. So, the context that we are in is just all the professional reciters have glorified Maharaja Prithu and about his wonderful qualities. And Maharaja Prithu has return them with some gifts, and now Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Rishi to please narrate the entire story of Maharaj Prithu. How did he control Mother Earth? Why was Indra again and again came and disturbed Maharaj Prithu? How did Brahma appear? How did Sanat Kumara come? So the entire story goes in 3, 4, 5 chapters. So this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is something very, very special, which no other scriptures could offer. Like how Vidura is addressing the Supreme Lord as Adokshaja beyond material perception, Srimad Bhagavatam is also beyond material perception. Sanatana Goswami glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam in his Bhagavata Mahima Stotra as Sri Krishna Parivartita. Sarva Lokaika Drik Prada. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dvanto Dita Aditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. He is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishna personified. And if Bhagavatam is Krishna personified, then normal materialistic intelligence will not be able to understand the subject matter. Hence, we will always see how the mood of all the students of Bhagavatam have been in a very humble state of mind, surrendering oneself to the spiritual authority and inquiring from them to know the subject matter. There is a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text Number 1, which is about the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantare shantu manvantare shanukata nirodho mukte ashraya. It is said that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about 10 subject matters. These 10 subject matters are very unique and explains about different aspects. Srila Prabhupada says that Srimad Bhagavatam accepts Sri Krishna as the shelter of all manifestations because Krishna is the ultimate source of everything. There are two principles that we need to understand. Principle number one is called Ashraya, and principle number one is called Ashruta. Ashraya means the object providing shelter, and Ashruta, the dependents who require shelter. The Ashruta, which means dependents, exists under the original principle Ashraya. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is structured in such a way, it's a bit technical, but let us understand this. So what are the 10 subject matters? Atra Sargo Sargaha means creation by Vishnu, bringing forth the 5 gross material elements, 5 objects of sense perception, 10 senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, total material energy or the universal form. We have seen that in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Sargaha, which means how the creation is manifesting. Second is Visargaha, which means the secondary creation or the work of Brahma in producing the moving and unmoving bodies in the universe, Brahmanda. There are so many Brahmandas. Sthana, which means the maintenance of the universe by the personality of Godhead, how these universes are maintained. Vishnu's function is more important and his glory greater than that of Brahma and Lord Shiva because of his maintenance, even though Brahma is the creator and Lord Shiva is the destroyer. The Prabhupada writes in his purport how these three gunavataras are trying to manage this entire material manifestation, and Vishnu takes the primary role because creation is easy comparative to maintenance. Destruction is definitely easy comparative to creation and maintenance. So maintenance is a responsible role and Vishnu has kept it with him. So sthana means how they are maintained. Poshana means special care and protection for the devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, to the personality of God that gives special care. Poshana is something very important, and the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this particular context of Maharaja Prithu, is one such subject matter which talks about Poshana. There are many, many stories. If you see these subject matters, they are spread over Srimad Bhagavatam in different contexts, and maybe sometime later we can talk about detailed analysis of these 10 subject matter. Uti means the urge for creation or the initiative power that is the cause of all the inventions according to the necessities of time, space and objects. The sixth subject matter is called Manvantara, the period controlled by Manus, who teach regulative principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. Ishanukata, seventh subject matter, scriptural information regarding the personality of Godhead, his incarnations on earth, and the activities of his devotees. Scriptures dealing with these subject matters are essential for progress in human life. Ishanukata. Nirodha, the winding up of all energies employed in creation. Such potencies are emanations from the personality of Godhead. Ninth subject matter is Mukti, liberation of the conditioned souls. And the tenth subject matter is called Ashraya, the transcendence, the Sambham and Bonam, from whom everything emanates, upon whom everything rests. So, these 10 subject matters, Sargaha, Visargaha, Sthanam, Poshanam, Utaya, Manvantara, Ishanakata, Nirodha, Mukti, Ashraya. So, these 10 subject matters are divided by two principles. One principle is called Ashraya, another principle is called Ashrita. And Ashrita means the dependence. The first 9 categories, Sargaha to Mukti. The first 9 categories described in the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, from creation to liberation, including Purushavataras, incarnations, the marginal energy or living entities, the external energy or the material world, are all Ashrita. So, the subject matter Raj Prithu, which is heart of Srimad Bhagavatam's 10 subject matters, both in terms of Ishanukata, both in terms of Poshana. So these knowledge that we are going to hear from Maitreya Rishi for the next few chapters are very interesting, because they are going to direct us to eventually to the platform of liberation. Because this 9 subject matters, starting from creation to liberation, are all different components of our devotional journey. But Srila Prabhupada finally says that unless and otherwise we understand the Ashraya philosophy. The Ashraya philosophy means surrendering ultimately to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will still remain incomplete. The prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately aim for Ashraya Tattva. Hence, the great souls are very carefully studying the 9 categories through direct narrations, sometimes indirect narrations. But the bona fide acharyas can only direct us to the Ashraya Tattva. So the reflections from today's discussion are about glorifying these subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how the Supreme Lord cannot be understood by any material endeavor. The word Adokshaja is used by Arjuna also. So when a matter of spiritual knowledge is being spoken about, the student or the speaker refers the Supreme Lord as Adokshaja. The same Bhagavatam verse 2.10.1 is referred by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami In Chaitanya Charitamrita also. So these 10 subject matters, as students of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should know. But we should know with the purpose that Ashraya Tattva is the ultimate aim of our all this endeavor. So when Vidura was inquiring to Maitreya Rishi, he was not interested in hearing about some Gramya Kata. Gramya Kata means worldly talks. So Vidura's inquiry, Arjuna's inquiry in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the conversation between Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Sahasrami of the God, all the preachings that have happened, all the conversations, everything pertaining to spiritual knowledge, they don't fall into the category of Gramya Kata, they fall into the category of spiritual knowledge aiming for ashraya, shelter. So if we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if we are participating in spiritual knowledge, if our aim is not for ashraya, then our existence will be futile. Our whole endeavor in spirituality will only be half-cooked. Because ashrita, knowledge is good only when it is culminating in ashraya tattva. So here, in this particular shloka, Prabhupada explains how Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, bringing in the potency of Krishna's goodness, passion and ignorance avatars, and how Prithu Maharaj is going to protect the citizens, uphold the dharma, establish the principle of learning, and finally get the result of learning. So he is going to protect the citizens by challenging everybody who is giving the citizens trouble. He is upholding, going to uphold dharma by already showing by his own appearance, as well as by his own activities going forward, he is going to show that he is interested not in any name, fame and prosperity. He is interested in action. Third, as a part of executing dharma, challenges are faced, and in those challenges, how he continued to exhibit dharma and eventually surrender and teach the most important principle in upholding dharma. And eventually, that surrender is going to reap him a very special, unimaginable fruit, which is the essence of this particular subject matter of King Prithu. So his surrender to Lord Brahma, appearance of Lord Vishnu in the fire sacrifice, visiting of Sanat Kumaras to his house, instruction by Sanat Kumaras to Maharaj Prithu, all these things that are going to come in this fourth canto is going to be the icing on the cake. While every subject matter in this chapter is very important, we are going to very logically, very nicely, and very systematically study these. So that way, the speaker, as well as the inquirer, Vidura and Maitreya, they are both going to enlighten us. By the help of Vidura, we are going to hear about all the stories, which is going to be narrated by Maitreya Muni. And because it emanates from the lips of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, we are also going to get knowledge of Ashraya Tattva. So Srila Prabhupada's contribution when explaining about these 9 subject matters, Sargaha to Mukti, Everywhere Srila Prabhupada is connecting how this has to be culminating in Ashraya, how this has to be culminating in Ashraya, how this has to be culminating in Ashraya. So if you read the purport of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, or any canto of Srimad Bhagavatam between 1 and 9, where different subject matters are spoken, creation, extended creation, maintenance, protection, so many things are going to be spoken, and all of these subject matters are dealt with utmost care. Srila Prabhupada drew a line from Ashrita to Ashraya. So in our own endeavors in being Krishna conscious, so we should also understand, if Ashraya or Ashraya Tattva is not there in our spiritual understanding, we have still not understood the essence of our Siddhanta. So keeping this as a basis, we are going to have some set of reflections. So Ashraya Tattva is surrendering, glorifying, remembering, absorbing ourselves in the transcendental subject matter of the Supreme Lord, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But without Ashrita knowledge, without the knowledge about how the creation, how all the subjects are part of Krishna's transcendental creation, without understanding them, if somebody directly culminates to Ashraya, probably that there's a chance of making a mistake to wrongly conclude about Krishna's supremacy, which Srila Prabhupada strongly condemned. Because a lot of unscrupulous Bhagavatam speakers, they directly jump to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam without discussing about the first 9 cantos. So that way, what we are doing in understanding about Maharaj Prithu's activities and various other subject matters is contributing towards our understanding of Ashrita. And because we are in a bona fide process, we will be guided towards Ashraya eventually. So my first reflection is about the urgency and importance shown by all the students of scriptural knowledge. May it be Arjuna, may it be Parikshit Maharaj, may it be Suta Goswami, may it be Shravanaka Rishi, may it be Vidura, may it be Uddhava, Narada Muni. We see everybody, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, you see everybody who had heard from their authorities. They have not wasted their time in hearing bona fide signs. They all could have very nicely spent their time for some Gramya Katha. But because they understand importance of life and the urgency of knowing this and delivering this knowledge, they have been always keen. And if you see all their questions, they were directed towards self-realization. So the first question, first reflection is about urgency of knowing this knowledge. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he has mentioned a very interesting point. He said that if somebody accumulates a person's entire life span and the activities and do an analysis, we will come to a conclusion very easily that 50% of our time whilst we are alive in this world is generally gone in sleeping. So 50% of our time goes in sleeping. Say, for example, somebody lives for 40 years, or 50 years, or 60 years, they are alive in this world. If you accrue the times that they have slept, so after coming to Krishna consciousness, only we have the habit of sleeping 6 hours or 5 hours or maximum 7 hours. Otherwise, generally people, sleeping is one of the most sought thing by everybody. Wish to sleep, nobody disturb us. So Prahlad Maharaj says that 50% of our time is gone in sleeping, 10% of our time is gone in childhood days, where we can only play, do nothing. 10% more of our whole lifespan is gone in disease. 10% more of our life is gone in prajalpa. So he's saying, what is remaining is hardly 20%. And in that time, should we procrastinate learning the spiritual knowledge, or should we jump onto it? Balastavat krida shaktaha, tarunastavat taruni shaktaha, vriddastavat chinta shaktaha, parame brahme kahopi shaktaha, bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam, govindam, bhajamudamate, samprapte, sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati, dukrin harane. So in Bhajagovindam it is said, Balastavat Krida Shaktaha. So when I was a child, the kid is enjoying all the time playing with toys. Balastavat Krida Shaktaha. Tarunastavat Taruni Shaktaha. As a youth, the time is gone in enjoying opposite sex, seeing opposite sex, talking about opposite sex. Vriddhastava chinta shaktaha. When we are old, we talk about so many thoughts, childhood days, so many memories, this and that. Parame brahme kahopi shaktaha. So parame brahme kahopi shaktaha, meaning that when will that day become where I will talk about spiritual subject matter? So hence he is saying that please don't delay. It's important for us to turn the subject matter. So this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Vidura is trying to churn, is not something ordinary, is not something that is to be ignored. This is something that shows his interest in the spiritual knowledge and not in any other worldly thoughts. One person very nicely shared a very interesting forward. Nowadays, these WhatsApp forwards sometimes. He said, at the age of 40, highly educated, less educated are the same. Because at the age of 40, even sometimes less educated people make more money than high educated. Unfortunately, our education system is not contributing to our potential to earn. So earning, it comes from your own individual skills and karma. So he says that at the age of 40, whether you are highly educated or less educated, I mean, more or less it's same. At the age of 50, whether you are beauty or ugly, it doesn't matter, because anyway, wrinkles and dark spots appear in the skin. So whether I was born beautiful, born ugly, almost at the age of 50, we start to dwindle. At the age of 60, high position or low position are one and the same. Because once you retire from work, hoping that at 60 we retire, but I'm sure in America we don't believe in this ideology of retirement, work will die, death. So anyway, the point is at the age of 60, when you retire from work, even a peon will avoid respect his own ex-boss. So the charm that you received as a boss of an organization when you retire, you are any other person like anybody else. At 70, whether it's big house or small house, they're all one and same, because our joints get to degenerate. We're hardly able to move. That's why we have a little place to sit. At 80, have money or no money are one and same, because even when you want to spend money, you don't know where to spend. At 90, sleeping or waking up are one and same, because after you wake up, you still don't know what to do. The point is that the whole material creation, without Krishna consciousness, makes us meaningless. These points that were shared by some karmi groups, some psychology or somebody guys have sent. But if you understand Krishna conscious subject matter, we can serve at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 20, 10, whatever age we are in, we will be able to engage ourselves in Krishna's Sankirtan mission. I always tell my students that every day we all should tell ourselves 10 times minimum, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Just go on telling 10 times to reiterate our mission. It's to glorify the Sankirtan movement. And to glorify the Sankirtan movement, if you are part of the missionary, if you understand the mission, then we need to show the sign of urgency. So the first reflection hence is Vidura and all the students of Srimad Bhagavatam have directly spoken, heard the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam without delaying any time for side agendas. Similarly, in our own endeavor to hear, in our own endeavor to progress, in our own association with devotees, we should be directly to the point, not waste unnecessarily on worldly talks and prajalpa, which of late is one of the serious threats in nowadays devotees association. In the process of counseling different families, when I am in the service of doing that, we see how a family is very interested in getting their daughter married to another devotee boy, or the girl is interested in marrying a devotee boy, a boy is interested in marrying a devotee girl, but as soon as they marry, where is the Krishna consciousness quest gone? We don't know. So many devotee marriages are in trouble. So many devotee relationships are in trouble. So many devotees associations are in, trouble. Which means somewhere we are superimposing our materialistic agenda on a Krishna consciousness equation, which is definitely not a fit. But when somebody understands the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, when somebody understands the urgency of Srimad Bhagavatam, then they will be able to superimpose Krishna consciousness subject matter in materialistic life. Rather than purifying our materialistic life based on the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are trying to use materialistic ideologies in Krishna consciousness relationships Krishna consciousness situations. So hence, we need to buckle up and show some sign of urgency in understanding, studying, assimilating, applying and preaching Srimad Bhagavatam, because our mission is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Principle number two. What is happening to devotees when they are involved in Krishna consciousness? They get carried away by worldly subject matters, even though the intent had been to become a devotee. In the process, they get digressed. Why are they not able to comprehend the glories of the Supreme Lord? Again, this is relevant in this current context, because Prithu Maharaj is going to challenge Mother Earth, and he is going to speak to Mother Earth saying that your duty, your principle is to deliver your dependence. If you don't do it, I will see to that they are taken care of by hook or crook. So the point is, Prithu Maharaj is challenging Mother Earth for not upholding Dharma. So it is not only the sense of urgency, it is also about the sense of responsibility. So the principle, reflection number two, it's about the sense of responsibility by a practicing devotee. As we discussed in the beginning of this class, Prithu Maharaj is taken up this responsibility not only as a king, not only as a dutiful citizen, not only as a devotee. He has also demonstrated that how a person responsible enough should uphold Dharma. And as the Supreme Lord's Shaktyavesh avatar, he is establishing a principle for all of us to learn. So when we are students of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not just that we show some sign of urgency, we also show some sign of responsibility. I'll explain this with the point where the people in this material world, like we all, when we deal in the subject matters for our worldly activities, whether it is respective job, whether it is respective family relationships, whether it is with respect to our social gathering, education. So somewhere, we show our loyalty in the wrong footing. In the sense, I work in an organization because I think I am dependent on the money that they pay. I am becoming loyal to my boss at the cost of upholding a principle. This is a very sensitive point, very important point, and it needs much more elaboration and deliberation. Maybe Krishna willing, in the future some sessions we can do that. But the point that I'm trying to drive is that the sense of responsibility as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam means how much we allow the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, how much we allow the principles of Krishna consciousness to penetrate our daily life vis-a-vis how much we let daily life's nonsense to penetrate Krishna consciousness. The way we handle this defines how responsible are we. If I use a value called loyalty because of my materialistic dependencies, I apply on a materialistic situation, boss, company, family, relation, even though they are adharmic, they are against Sankirtan, they are against Krishna consciousness, such a value is condemned. The reason I am saying is, I am again coming from a background where lot of devotees, we have understanding and application of Krishna consciousness just on a superficial level. When it comes to application, when it comes to implementation, when we come to daily practicing of Krishna consciousness, we somewhere or other, we try to fail. The reason we fail is showing loyalty to a place, to a person, to a situation, to things where we are supposed to show principles. And we show principles where we are supposed to show loyalty. So when I am working with a materialistic boss, I'm getting a handsome salary, I am being maintained in a very royal, wonderful arrangement, I start to be so loyal to him, even to an extent that my spirituality is compromised. We devotees, instead of trying to remind ourselves and apply the principles of Krishna consciousness even in our day-to-day life, we somewhere try to believe, somewhere try to inherit a false philosophy saying that I will do whatever I want to do, but little bit of earnings that I do, I give it to Krishna and purify. For a student, a missionary who is holding the mission, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, they need to lead a principle-centric life. So Prithu Maharaj's life episode is going to be demonstrating about this aspect of principle-driven life. He's not deterring from any external condition and just steadfastly going towards upholding dharma. In our own personal lives, we are all shaken. We compromise because we give a philosophy of loyalty. We give the philosophy of dependency and somewhere or other downgrade the potency of the spirituality. So teach the principles where it is to be taught. Show loyalty where it is to be needed, to be given. If we do the opposite, so then we will wobble on the path of dharma. This aspect is very sensitive for a congregation devotee, because we have twofold life. One is when we deal with socialist people, social surroundings, workplace, family settings, and other times with our own devotees. So hence we have this split personality disorder. Why split personality disorder or multiple personality disorder? When we are with devotees, we are one. And when we are with karmis, we are other. And sometimes depends upon whose association is more, we superimpose that philosophies and ideologies on the other. And unfortunately, the reality is because we have more social materialistic association, we carry that baggage and apply it amongst devotees, and we face a lot of challenges. May it be devotee marriages, may it be devotee associations, may it be, you know, whatever. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a solution for them. The chapter that I was mentioning about 2.10.1, the chapter's title itself is Srimad Bhagavatam is solutions for all. That is why a student of Srimad Bhagavatam should not only show urgency, but should show the sign of responsibility, which Vidura did demonstrate. Vidura came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam by speaking principle against all the members under whom he was living. When he saw that adharma, when he saw the principles of religiosity and righteousness was compromised, he gave up that association without fearing. When Duryodhana challenged the Vidura, Vidura felt so disheartened. Vidura finally gave a piece of advice to Dhritarashtra and said that, I am leaving now, but I am giving a piece of advice. Please don't support your views of your sons. At this age of your life, you are going to dig your own graveyard. So Vidura definitely was giving importance to principles over loyalty. He could have stayed back, but he definitely demonstrated some sign of a sincere student of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if we are sincere students of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will know for sure that Krishna protects. It's not Krishna will protect. Krishna was protecting. Krishna protects us always. Present continuous. Always. Continuously Krishna is protecting us. At every point in time. Poshana means caretaking. Protection. And Krishna is doing that. So with that understanding, we should approach life. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, not only we read, read about the stories, about the episodes, we should inherit how Srimad Bhagavatam is relevant for our own existence. How Srimad Bhagavatam's principle should be applied in our relationships. How Srimad Bhagavatam should be learned in such a manner that we can apply it to purify our existence. So the second principle is about the sense of responsibility. Third and the last is not only about urgency, it is not only about responsibility, it is also about accountability, which Prithu Maharaj is going to demonstrate. And because of this, because of this sense of being a sincere student of Srimad Bhagavatam, this subject matter became very relevant, by which we will all can make little progress. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is considered Krishna personified. The first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Third canto is Krishna's thighs. Fourth canto is Krishna's abdomen. Like that, the whole 12 cantos are nicely defined. Wherein 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's lotus face. So the basis of Krishna consciousness is explained in reality, in practice, where we discussed about Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj dealt as a congregation, or what you can call as a ruling king. He was not an ascetic. He was not a brahmachari. He did show to uphold the principles and how to be accountable. Not to just shy off because I'm upholding principles, because I'm student of Srimad Bhagavatam, I am needing urgency to learn Krishna consciousness. So I will wash my grihastha ashram agenda off. I will keep everything at bay and go and sit in Radha Kund and chant. That's not what the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is all about. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and all the acharyas have come and demonstrated how Krishna consciousness should be intertwined in our daily lives, and to show to the people that Krishna consciousness still exists. It is not some science for forest mongers. So the sense of accountability meaning, yes, there will be so many challenges, but I still see to that. The vows, the initiation vows, the principles that are abided, the urgency that is need to be shown in progressing Krishna consciousness is much more given over my materialistic needs. Not many people are given this privilege that Krishna had given to Dhruva Maharaj. Because when Dhruva Maharaj made his prayer, when Krishna appeared, Dhruva Maharaj asked for forgiveness for his childish nature to be performing meditation for such a petty thing to sit on his father's lap and to excel his great-grandfather also. When he saw Krishna, he felt ashamed of his request. Or finally, what did Krishna do? Krishna bestowed him with the benediction saying that, my dear Dhruva, you will be ruling this planet for so long time. And whilst you are ruling, you will have the privilege of enjoying all the sense gratificatory, all the pleasure of this material world without getting bonded. And at the end of your ruling, you will eventually come to me. This is a very special privilege not everybody gets. That you are able to enjoy all the opulences, at the same time not getting carried away or not getting bonded, and at the same time eventually make it to the spiritual abode at the end of one's life. But in our case, we need to definitely show this sign of accountability as a student, as a disciple, as a missionary, and as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we should show our sign of accountability. And the sign of accountability means that see to that every action that we do should have connection with Krishna. That should show our loyalty, that should show our responsibility, that should show our accountability. A very nice example is given that of adding beauty. When we stand in front of the mirror, we constantly comb our hair. I'm sure anybody, anytime when we cross mirror, we check out ourselves if everything is okay. And one of the important things that we check out is our hair okay? Because hair adds to a person's beauty, that's the understanding. But the same hair, our own hair, when we are eating prasadam and eating food, falls off our head. That becomes filled. So that which is beautiful, that which is adding beauty to our existence, becomes filled in no moment when it gets disconnected from the source. So in our own existence, if we connect everything to Krishna, then we relate everything to the Supreme Lord, then we offer everything to Krishna, then it maintains its glory. When it gets disconnected, it loses its glory. So the sense of accountability should be, how do we somehow or other plan, strategize, prepare our life in such a way that we can always do things in connection with Krishna
whilst we are doing our daily course of life. So to summarize our conversation today, the subject matter that we are currently in is where Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Rishi to know the entire Prithu Maharaj episode. And Prithu Maharaj is one personality who is Krishna Shaktiavesh Avatar. He is trying to establish certain principles during his ruling and existence, and how we all can learn lessons from Prithu Maharaj's life. We spoke about 10 subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, how from Sarga to Mukti, 9 subject matter is considered Ashrita. Ashrita being that which is dependent. And eventually we discuss about the subject of Ashraya, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This Ashrita, the dependence requiring shelter, which is all of us, things, manifestation, is under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So Ashraya, at the 10th subject matter, Atra Sargo Visargasya Sthanam Poshana Mutaya Manvantara Vishanukata. So all these 10 subject matters are eventually going to help us in assimilating the science of Krishna consciousness. And this particular 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prithu Maharaj episode, does deal with how devotees, how dharma is upheld. It talks about Prithu Maharaj's able ruling, protection of the citizens, etc. So with this introduction, we had 3 reflections. How, as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to show some sign of urgency. How, as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to show some sign of responsibility. And how, as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should show the sign of accountability. And we gave examples and discussed through these examples that it is imperative that as regular students of Srimad Bhagavatam, we show them, show our loyalty, and eventually be a missionary for the mission Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Thank you very much. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, you can discuss. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble. I have one question. I don't know if it's related or not, but in a way, because I have heard that Jay and Vijay were cursed, and they took three births to go back to the Lord. And I heard that all the devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness also have to go through three lives before they go back to serve Krishna. Goloka or whichever incarnation, Lord Krishna's incarnation, you have been meditating or worshipping like that. So, I don't know, can you shed light on it? Will you please?
So, I'm not sure if I fully heard you, but I'll repeat your questions. Basically, I'm saying that Jaya and Vijaya, they had to take birth as demons, and eventually they had to go through the ordeal to finally go to Krishna. Similarly, devotees, when they practice Krishna consciousness, they also need to go through the ordeal before they make it to Krishna. Is that the question?
Yes. Somehow, I don't know, before getting into Krishna consciousness, I was just was not practicing Krishna consciousness, but it's like materialistic life. The materialistic life is like a demonic life. So that's what I was thinking. So I don't know. Maybe you can.
Yeah. So my understanding is this. My understanding is in the case of Jaya and Vijaya is of a very unique situation where for three reasons this whole thing got manifested. One is Krishna wanted to have some fun, so he created this opportunity of Jaya and Vijaya stopping Sanat Kumaras. Two, that if somebody has offended a Vaishnava, then they need to go through. So Krishna, even though he's Jaya and Vijaya, because they had hurt Sanat Kumaras and they received the curse of a devotee, even Krishna can't, you know, overrule them. And last but not least, that if a person is serving Krishna, if it gives pleasure to Krishna, he is ready to even get into any shoes for the sake of serving Krishna nicely. Because Jaya and Vijaya, for them to become demons, it's not an easy agenda. So sometimes devotees go an extra mile to please the Lord, not considering his own comfort. And this, I'm not sure how much this can be mapped to the life of a normal practicing devotee. A practicing devotee go through ordeal or go through demoniac or in a non-demoniac or struggle or difficult situations because of his own actions and reactions. There are only very, very rare hand-picked souls who are chosen by Krishna, apart from Jaya and Vijaya also, to be engaged in some activities which are tough, which are needed for his mission. Otherwise, these all categories were called Nitya Siddhas versus Nitya Baddhas. Nitya Siddhas are them who fit into Jaya and Vijaya category. Nitya Baddhas are the ones who are in conditioned soul category, who have to go through their own ordeal and demoniac or divine life based on their actions and reactions. So I'm not sure if there is a parallel to be drawn, but definitely yes, that what we just discussed today in terms of being responsible, accountable and urgency will help a conditioned soul to eventually reach the platform of self-realization and eventually make it to the spiritual abode. So the struggles and sufferings initially comes because of our karma. Second, struggle and suffering comes because of purification or the process of purification. And eventually the struggle and suffering is to preach. So challenges are of three categories for a practitioner. Initially, to get rid of the unwanted things in the heart. Second is to get rid of the residual unwanted things in the heart. Third is to eventually use us as an example for helping others to practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna engages. So this is my limited understanding of challenges and demoniac activities, propensities in a sadhaka's life, vis-a-vis Nitya Siddha's life. Am I making some sense here?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
This is Komode Kidasi from Baltimore. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So,
thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for answering that question, Prabhuji, very detailed. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I am currently in Srirangam, South India, Ranganatha Swami, and our my in-law's house is just opposite to the temple, so I've been praying to Lord Ranganath. Just had been had a wonderful darshan today, so I was praying to Lord Ranganath to bestow all the special blessings on all the students of Srimad Bhagavatam, because we need more and more Bhagavatam students to buckle up, to show some sign of urgency, responsibility and accountability. So I was praying what to speak. So and then I thought that we should definitely become more and more serious in the Krishna consciousness to challenge the evil effects of Kali Purusha. So wish you all good luck in your practicing of Krishna consciousness. See you all soon next week. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that. Okay, if there are no more questions, let us offer obeisance to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Ram Giridhari Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.